Hey everybody, welcome to a show. I'm Pete, this is Show. Today, we have a little variety of topics to talk about. So I hope you're as excited as I am. Actually, I hope you're significantly more excited than I am. Because my excitement level could be described as modest. At best. But not because we don't have a lot of great stuff to talk about. The first thing I wanted to talk about, so Poo Master Flex's mom volunteers at a hospital because she's like a good human who, you know, should probably be doing a podcast like this instead of me and telling you to do things like volunteer at a hospital instead of saying, give me some money on Patreon to do this. But because she encounters a lot of different people and, you know, has discussions with them. And one of the topics that came up was Poon Master Flex is a Taylor Swift fan. And this guy was in there, middle-aged guy, older-ish. And basically printed out for Cassie, Poon Master Flex's mom, something about Taylor Swift. Now, apparently he made this for his daughter because his daughter is a Taylor Swift fan, but does not like that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are together. So this dad, and the reason I bring this up is this is like the most dad move I've ever seen in my life. This dad made a, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 page sort of mathematical report. Here's the title. It's abbreviated at 5 pages. An abbreviated analysis of the Taylor Allison Swift Travis Michael Kelce relationship. I want to say to you, this front page has 5 different fonts on it. Now after this it chills out and it's one font for the rest of it, but he got very fancy at the beginning here. Prepared and presented by the arithmetilitarian numeratisitologist, numerasticistologist, mathematolic, numerita wordsmither, high plains, Stepien, friar, monk, father, right reverend, John Philip I. I mean, I think what's awesome about this, you know, before we get into it, because I don't know how much of this we'll actually read, because it is a lot of math, but it's so bombastic. It's so ridiculous. It's like, and I'm just picturing, he was probably in the hospital because he gave this to like his teenage daughter and she rolled her eyes so hard that she dislocated, you know, one of her eyeballs or something. The afterferred analyses all utilize the real, unreal, and imaginary number systems, along with accepted rules and unrules of arithmetic and mathematics, accompanied by the use of the English language letters, symbols, punctuation, and spelling, according to the mathematical rules and license, similarly to poetic license given to poets, commonly known and referred to as mathematical license. Mathematical license gives this ANMNHPSFMFRRJPI the latitude, not longitude, to do anything that will result in a desired finding or conclusion. So I guess what he's saying right off the bat is that he's like, well, you know, basically, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to just make up stuff. So be prepared. Many of the analyses are based, by the way, whole row of asterisks, separator. Many of the analyses are based on or compared to perfect numbers. The perfect numbers are those that are positive integers that are the sum of all of its divisors except for the perfect number. For example, 6 is the smallest perfect number as it is the sum of 1, 2, and 3, its divisors. 28 is the next smallest perfect number, the sum of 14, 7, 4, 2, 1. 496, 8,128, and what would that be? 33,550,336 are the next perfect numbers in ascending order. Notice that no is used for separating, or no. Notice that no space is used for separating thousands. This is written as, notice that no blank, but I think there's an extra space, is used for separating thousands. Some analyses use the use of one-to-one relationship of the English alphabet of the first and only 26 letters in the first and only 26 numbers of the real number system, where A equals 1, thence onward to where Z equals 26. Now, already, I'm just like, I love picturing like a 14, 15-year-old girl who I feel is already inclined to hate her dad. Just in terms of like, dad, you're embarrassing me. This seems like prime dad, you're embarrassing me age, right? Oh my God, dad, please stop. Dad, stop. That seems like the right age for this. And just like, how much explaining is happening right now and how much she would hate it. All right, now we have a regular divider. And now for the TSTK analyses. Assigning letters with numbers, the mathematologist found some interesting things. Taylor equals 20 plus 1 plus 25 plus 12 plus 15 plus 18 equals 91. So that's taking each letter and assigning it its number and then adding those together. Travis, 20 plus 18 plus 1 plus 22 plus 9 plus 19 equals 89. Swift is a bunch of numbers that equal 77, and Kelsey is a bunch that equal 52. Taylor Swift equals 91 plus 77, which is 168. Travis Kelsey's numbers add up to 141. 168 minus 141, so that's Taylor Swift minus Travis Kelsey, equals 27, which is 3 raised to the third power, 3 cubed, and 3 plus 3 equals 6, and 6 is the smallest perfect number. So this is his first choice, or his first little proof. Furthermore, 91, Taylor, minus 77, so Taylor minus Swift equals 14. Travis minus Kelsey equals 37. And 37 minus 14 equals 23, and 2 times 3 equals 6. 37 plus 14 equals 51, and 5 plus 1 equals 6. How perfect they are. I don't even know what that fucking means. All right, here's some less mathematical stuff. Interestingly, Taylor's first name has 6 letters. Travis's first name also has 6 letters. They seem to be a perfect match. Swift's last name has 5 letters. Kelsey's name also has 5 letters. An ideal match. Taylor's middle name is Allison. 6 letters. Travis's middle name is Michael. 7 letters. Allison has 3 vowels. Michael has 3 vowels. The two of them together have a total of a perfect 6 vowels in their middle names. Kansas City Chiefs. Missouri. This looks interesting. Kansas has 6 letters, City has 4, Chiefs has 6, Missouri has 8 letters. 6 plus 4 plus 6 plus 8 equals 24, and 2 plus 4 equals 6. A perfect name and location. This is fucking great. This is just so great because it's like a dad doing this to like nudge his daughter. And I'm like, this is like the ultimate, you know, I've become more acquainted with the world of like Swiftie conspiracy theories. Now, Swiftie conspiracy theories are very harmless, in my opinion. They just seem to be basically people like watching her videos and stuff in micro detail to spot little clues about like, oh, maybe that means the next release is on this date or, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, I badly want to scan this and put it on like a Taylor Swift subreddit or something because it's pretty fucking amazing. What else do we have? Taylor was born December 13th, 1989. Travis was born October 5th, 1989. 69 days separate their birth dates. 6 plus 9 equals 15. And if you take those digits, 5 and 1, they equal 6. Again, a perfect spread of their birthdays. 69 can also be expressed or represented as bracket 2 times 3 equals 6, and bracket, new bracket, 3 times 3 equals 9, and bracket, and 2 times 3 equals, okay, you get the idea. They're both 34 years old, the sum of their ages is 68. Look at what that number shows as perfection. 68 equals 28, which is the smallest perfect number, plus 40. Take the 28 and break it apart, and it subtract 2 from 8 to get 6, the smallest perfect number. The prime factors of 40 are 2, 2, 2, and 5. And I'll ignore the 5. 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 6. Perfect. I mean, this goes on in this sort of density for like 5 pages. I'm just going to skip to the conclusion because I feel like, but you know, there's like a sigma in here. There's like, you know, there's math that I'm completely unfamiliar with. Okay, so before the conclusion, there's a 2 horizontal dividers, and then there's a parentheses with some text in it. The above double lines mean nothing, and I'm having trouble deleting them. Please ignore them as they mean nothing. This is like the most dad thing ever. It's like, I can't delete these lines, so just ignore them. But I'll just put this text in here in case you were worried about those lines meaning something. Don't worry. Logica, that is plural. Conclusions, also plural. The above demonstrates that Tay-Tay and Travis are perfect for each other and will live a perfect love life after having the perfect marriage and perfect air travel, which will result in having continued perfect careers and rearing perfect children should they choose to do so. And that's the end. I basically just wanted to read that on here because I'm like, this document deserves a wider audience. Not necessarily because it's like, you know, so amazing or whatever. Mostly because I'm like, somebody went so fucking hard at like being obnoxious. And I feel a kinship with this person. You know what I mean? I feel like this is a person I understand on a deep level. So I'm like, yep, this makes sense. Okay, let's move on to our main topic for today. So here's what happened. I was listening to another podcast, and they brought up a baseball player named George Brett, who played, I guess, in the 70s and 80s. And one of the hosts was like, do you know what George Brett was famous for, right? And somebody was guessing, you know, oh, Hall of Fame baseball, whatever. And he was like, nope, hemorrhoids. And it turns out that he had to leave a World Series game in 1980 because he had such bad hemorrhoid pain. And then, you know, he had a minor surgery and whatever. But so, you know, he was kind of like famous for having terrible hemorrhoids. And you're like, oof, that's rough. When somebody like 40 years later, it's like, you know what he's famous for? Hemorrhoids. And you're like, well, listen, many of us have had them, but not many of us are famous for them. So it got me thinking because I decided to look up George Brett and just see, you know, if there's much to the story. There wasn't a whole lot to it, although after undergoing minor surgery, Brett returned to play in the next game, quipping, my problems are all behind me. Then Brett underwent further hemorrhoid surgery the following spring. So I guess they weren't literally behind him, but, you know, or figuratively. But what ended up happening is that I went from George Brett's Wikipedia page to the hemorrhoid Wikipedia page, specifically the section for notable cases. And that's when I realized there are probably a lot of Wikipedia pages with notable cases. And I bet many of them you don't really want to be on, right? You don't want to be on the hemorrhoid Wikipedia because you're like one of the most famous cases of hemorrhoids. So here's what else is here. Conservative political commentator Glenn Beck underwent surgery for hemorrhoids, subsequently describing his unpleasant experience in a widely viewed 2008 YouTube video. Okay, hold on. Beck from the dead. Mr. Beck speaking from home shortly after being in the hospital. Okay, hold on. All right, let's see what we've got here.
Some surgery that was scheduled and then went horribly awry, and just an experience. In fact, I said, as you know, it's going to end up being my the joke that just will never end, mainly because, oh, I know you, I know who all of you are. I said on the way to the hospital, I said, if I die, God forbid this makes it into the paper, I want to make sure this is not the way I'm remembered.
And he's second listed on the hemorrhoid Wikipedia page, unfortunately. Now, he didn't die from this, I guess, but is he? He's not dead, is he? Glenn Beck. No, he's not dead.
And almost happened. And not because of any other thing other than it was one of the most eye-opening experiences of my life.
Brown eye opening.
Receive healthcare in the United States today in not one of our more glorious medical institutions, even though I live in a very nice area. This hospital, which I haven't decided if I'm going to name names on Monday, I think I'm going to, was phenomenal. Phenomenally bad.
Why is he like, burying the lead? I'm sorry that his audio quality is so poor. I would have thought Glenn Beck's audio quality would be better than mine, but I guess I'm wrong. Also, maybe it's just because he's like, still not sure why he made this video.
The doctors that treated me, who were not connected with the hospital other than, you know, they have privileges there, were incredible. Many of the nurses were incredible. But I have some stories that will melt your brain.
Incredibly stupid. I thought that's where he was going with that, but he didn't.
And hopefully will melt the brain of the CEO of this hospital to wake him up to find out what's going on. And it should be a wake-up call to all of us. This is one of the hospitals where the president of GE is going.
Shouldn't you, like, if you're the president of a hospital or the CEO of a hospital, shouldn't you have to get your medical care there? Like, shouldn't that be a rule? Like, you have to go there. I know that some people would be like, no, that's a conflict of interest. But I'd be like, I think it's kind of the opposite. Shouldn't you have to? Shouldn't you be well aware of what's going on? It's like, well, I guess you can perform your work in such a way that it's like, well, hopefully nothing happens to you. But if something does, you're going to wake up in your hospital, my friend.
If they don't care about the president of GE, you really think they care about, you know, schlubs that are just average working stiffs? It's,
Is he calling himself an average working stiff?
it is the same that could be said for the okay. treat us. We care. We want to care as well. So those two things, kind of dark as what will happen to me in the future when I see this tape on. And I've had pretty dark times. And
pretty dark times. Hemorrhoidal times.
With the medication that they had me on, just about everything. He said, you got just about everything that we have for pain. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm trying to live without it right now. But this stuff took me into places that started on Thursday, and by Saturday night, I was full-fledged suicidal.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Well, I shouldn't laugh because, you know, it's hemorrhoids and that's not fun. But, I mean, you got to laugh a little, right? Is anybody not feeling like that's a little funny? Just in terms of, like, my hemorrhoids nearly killed me. I mean, this is the whole thing here, right? Yeah. I'm sure George Brett doesn't think it's fucking hilarious. And like, if you've ever had a hemorrhoid, you know they are no picnic. When you're, you know, you get one and you're like, well, you know, I can tough it out. And then you find out, like, you know, the only thing that really works is the suppositories. And you're like, there's no way. And then within the week, I'm betting that you'll be using one. And you'll be like, hey, man. I don't know. Maybe it's because I had one when I was like in my early 20s or something. And so, you know, I had a little bit more of a thing about like cramming something up my butt. Now as a man in my 40s, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, if it cured me of having the Sunday blues, I would probably cram like one of those mini Coke cans up my butt. You know what I mean? For that small amount of benefit, I would cram something much larger and less lubricated than one of those suppositories. The other four notable cases, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter had surgery for hemorrhoids in 1984. That's unfortunate for him that's like, I don't know. You know, some of these other guys, I'm like, I mean, George Brett, like whatever, baseball player, Glenn Beck. He's a conservative political commentator who gives a shit. But then you're like, ah, Jimmy Carter seems like an okay guy. That's unfortunate for him. Cricketers Matthew Hayden and Viv Richards have suffered the condition. I don't even know who those people are, but I do find it funny that they're, you know, on the same line because they're like, well, they have the same profession. It does make it seem like maybe playing cricket is, you know, liable to cause hemorrhoids. Which I think we might as well start spreading that rumor. I've been seeing stuff about like the United States is now playing cricket or something and people are into it. And I'm just like, guys, no. No, we don't need another baseball. Okay? Baseball is boring. And cricket seems like it's almost known for being boring. However, it does go in with my theory of like, I feel like people like watching sports that take like a million hours. Because then it's an excuse to be away from your family and the life you've constructed for yourself. You know how everybody like in 2020 and 2021 was like, I've really had to come face to face with the life that I've built for myself. Because I live at home, I work at home, you know, I only go out to like the grocery store. There's not much in the world that I can distract myself with. So I'm taking a real deep dive into the life I've built for myself. My normal escapes are gone. I feel like that's why sports exist. Cause it's like, well, I can be like, I'm watching cricket. I gotta watch the whole game. Here's the last one. During World War II, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Harold Cohen was selected by General George S. Patton to organize a raid to rescue Patton's son-in-law from a German prison camp. Cohen was prevented from leading the raid due to hemorrhoids. Patton personally examined Cohen and remarked, "That is some sorry ass." Oh my God. He's like, on that's like, it's even worse. Like, that's on the George Brett thing, okay? Because, like, George Brett, right? He's on the cusp of greatness playing in the World Series and then can't finish the game, but at least he was in the next game, so it's kind of fine. But this guy was like, "I'm about to task you, son, with a very important mission." Assuming that Patton liked his son-in-law, maybe he hated his son-in-law, so he found the most incompetent, hemorrhoidal person he could. And then it's like, "Well, I ended up not being able to do it because my hemorrhoids were so bad." And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, what an unfortunate thing. So this got me thinking, right? This hemorrhoid notable cases. And I was like, there must be other notable cases of things. You know what I mean? Like Wikipedia, notable cases. And so then the next one I came across was lobotomy. And there are notable cases, such as Rosemary Kennedy, sister of the U.S. President John F. Kennedy, had a lobotomy in 1941 that left her incapacitated and institutionalized for the rest of her life. Which seems to be kind of the case with lobotomy. I think when I was in, like, college, we, you know, heard about lobotomy, and this was also, they were saying, like, electroshock therapy is actually not bad. It looks horrible, but it's not bad. Which I kind of believed, because it's like, well, when people have told me about having seizures, it's not, like, unpleasant. It's not scary, even though it looks like it from the outside. So maybe that's what it is. But lobotomy, I don't know, man. It seems, I don't understand. Here's a great one. Howard Dully wrote a memoir of his late life discovery that he had been lobotomized in 1960 at age 12. How is that fucking possible? How would you be lobotomized and not know? He was diagnosed as suffering from childhood schizophrenia at age 4, although numerous medical and psychiatric professionals who had seen Duffy did not detect a psychiatric disorder and instead blamed poor parenting by his stepmother. Freeman's notes stated that Dully's stepmother feared him and that he doesn't react either to love or to punishment. He objects to going to bed, but then sleeps well. He does a good deal of daydreaming, and when asked about it, he says, "I don't know." He turns the room's lights on when there is broad sunlight outside. Oh my God. 1948. You could get your kid lobotomized if you're like, "God damn it, turn the lights off if there's sun out coming in the window, you stupid bastard." In 1960, at 12 years of age, Dully was submitted by his father and stepmother for a transorbital lobotomy performed by Dr. Freeman for $200, which is the equivalent of $2,060 today. During the procedure, okay, blah, blah, blah. He was institutionalized as a juvenile. Well, that makes sense. And then he was incarcerated, eventually homeless, alcoholic. After becoming sober and getting a college degree in computer information systems, he became a California State certified behind-the-wheel instructor for a school bus company. That started out really good because it was a California State certified, and I was like, what is that going to be? Doctor? Whatever? Instructor for a school bus company, and you're like, Oh my God. And due to the after effects of the surgery, he was unable to rely on his own memories. Whoa. That's really weird. So yeah, he wrote a book about it called My Lobotomy. That's fucking nuts. That's great. I'm going to have to read that book, I think. I mean, this is like, boy, this is like, I hate to be like, you know, evil stepmother here, Shirley Lucille Harden, but like, he doesn't react to love or punishment. Okay. Well, he objects to going to bed, but then sleeps well. That's like every fucking kid ever. Every kid doesn't want to go to bed and then sleeps fine. That's like every goddamn kid ever created. He does a good deal of daydreaming, and when asked about it, says, "I don't know." I mean, that's nuts. Let's see. Other notable cases. Joseph Hasid, a Polish violinist and composer, was diagnosed with schizophrenia and died at the age of 26 following a lobotomy. Swedish modernist painter Sigrid Hjerten died following a lobotomy. American playwright Tennessee Williams' older sister received a lobotomy that left her incapacitated for life. The episode is said to have inspired characters and motifs in some of his work. So, you know, something. Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, of course. It is often said that when an iron rod was accidentally driven through the head of Phineas Gage in 1848, this constituted an accidental lobotomy, or that this event somehow inspired the development of surgical lobotomy a century later. According to the only book-length study of Gage, careful inquiry turns up no such link. We heard, this is what we heard about, you know, in psychology class. It was like the father of lobotomy, Phineas Gage, but it was like, Jesus, they did a reenactment in this video we were watching, and the guy's like working on the railroad all the live long day. And then I can't remember exactly what happened, but this rod gets blasted like under his chin, through the bottom of his chin, like up through, I don't know, around his eye somewhere, and just shoots straight through his head. And the video we saw was incredibly graphic. It was like a slow-mo thing that looks like, it looked like fucking Tom Savini from like Dawn of the Dead did the effects. They were like, these kids are going to think they're in a fucking psychology class and, you know, maybe start losing their attention. But then much like the bird squawking in that goddamn Orson Welles Rosebud movie that is not The Great Gatsby, Citizen Kane, you know, much like that bird squawking to get everyone's attention again. I think it was in that movie. We're going to show an extremely graphic rod blowing through this guy's skull in slow motion. And the effect is going to look pretty amazing. And like a young Pete will be sitting in there going like, holy shit. Like I didn't really, not since watching Romeo and Juliet and seeing naked boobs in, you know, like eighth grade. And for some reason it was like, that's fine. We can show this version in class as long as you try to fast forward through the boobs, but it's on a VHS. So you basically have to like push stop, fast forward, and then push play and just hope that you've passed the boobs, which is kind of funny. Cause I was like, hey, teach, I have a suggestion for you. Why don't you try it out and like give yourself a, you know, I'm going to push stop. And before the kids get in the classroom, push stop. Fast forward, give count to five and see if it's far enough. And if it is, then you know, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Give it a 10 count just to make sure. And then you're golden. You don't have to guess and check every time and then accidentally show this lady's rack in the middle of class. In 2011, Daniel Njenson, an Argentine-born neurosurgeon at Yale, examined x-rays of Eva Perón and concluded that she underwent a lobotomy for the treatment of pain and anxiety in the last months of her life. Oh, that's Evita, huh? That's weird. Well, boy, that was fucking amazing. That guy had a lobotomy and didn't even know it. Here's the next notable cases. Webbed toes. Notable cases of webbed toes. Like, why? Why? Why does that need to exist? But some of the names may shock you. Dan Aykroyd. Actually, it doesn't shock me that much. I mean, I feel like with his beliefs in aliens and stuff, it's like, okay. Trisha Helfer, who's a Canadian actress. Oh, you would recognize her from the Battlestar Galactica remake. She was like the babe who's maybe a Cylon or something. I don't know. But okay, that's more fun. I enjoy that more because it's like Dan Aykroyd. You're like, well, he's not like getting by on his looks or anything. And then Trisha Helfer, and you're like, okay, there you go. Jackie Hurley, Ashton Kutcher. Oh, man, bro, Conan O'Brien? And like you read that and you wonder if it's true. You know what I mean? Does Conan O'Brien have webbed feet? O'Brien detailed his immunity to caffeine, his resistance to anesthetic, and his webbed foot to the horror of his ghost. Every mutation, he's running down all of his mutations. And then Joseph Stalin. Because sure, why not? I mean, there's got to be somebody out there at this point, right, who is like Hitler. I feel like anything that can go wrong, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, that happened to Hitler. Now, here's a great one. Dysentery. Dysentery has notable cases. Now, this seems to be mostly like old-timey emperors and shit that you've never heard of who died of dysentery. But there is, as recent as 1942, the Selarang Barracks incident in 1942 during World War II involved the forced crowding of 17,000 Anglo-Australian prisoners of war by their Japanese captors in the areas around the barracks square for nearly 5 days with little water and no sanitation after the POWs refused to sign a pledge not to escape. The incident ended with the surrender of the Australian commanders due to the spreading of dysentery among their men. If you go into a POW camp and they're like, sign this thing that says you won't escape, wouldn't you just do it? Like, what's the difference? If you're going to escape, I mean, the idea is to not, what are they going to do? Be like, you said you wouldn't escape. And you'd be like, yeah, I mean, I'm in prison here. Like, what do you want? But that's horrific. That's terrible. You know, next time someone's like, what about the Japanese internment camps in the United States? Maybe just wave the old American flag, red, white, and blue, and be like, what about the Japanese prison camp where POWs shit themselves to death? It's one of the notable cases of dysentery. Remember from the Oregon Trail? The other big one that I feel obligated to cover because it's this show was list of people who died on the toilet, which kind of just came through from dysentery. But here's what I thought was interesting is a lot of these in the old times were like murdered on the toilet. There's someone named Caracalla murdered by his soldiers while stopping to urinate on his way to Edessa. Another guy murdered by the Praetorian Guard in a latrine in which he had taken refuge. I mean, that's not really dying on the toilet, is it? But then there was someone named Arius who died from explosive gastrointestinal problems while in a public toilet. But then there were like King Edmund Ironside of England stabbed while defecating in a toilet. Jaromir, Duke of Bohemia, stabbed with a spear from under a toilet seat while defecating. Oh my God, does that stabbed in the asshole? Godfrey the Fourth, Duke of Lower Lorraine, assassinated while using a toilet. Yusugi Kenshin, allegedly assassinated by a ninja while using a toilet, but very unlikely because his anticipation of his own death is recorded in a death poem. I guess the poem, doesn't necessarily involve, you know, toilets rhyming poop. As I poop and stoop in front of the Grim Reaper, I hope I didn't spot my pants with my peeper. God. Yeah. And now there's a lot of, it seems like, and then there's 20 and 21st century deaths on the toilet are all separate. And here we go. Morphine on the toilet, barbiturates on the toilet, amphetamine on the toilet, drug overdose on the toilet. Here's an outlier. Michael Godwin, initially sentenced to death by electrocution, but later reduced to a life sentence. He was accidentally electrocuted when he bit a pair of headphone wires while sitting on a metal toilet. I don't even understand how that's possible. but okay. Drug intoxication, morphine, sudden heart failure on a toilet, fell unconscious on a toilet. Yeah, all the basically everyone who died on the toilet either happened to have a heart attack on the toilet or ended up doing drugs and being on the toilet. It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Anyway, there were some other notable cases that we're just not going to get to today, but the other ones that I thought were interesting, if you'd like to take a look, or that are sort of unfortunate to be a part of, would be wolf attack notable cases, and there was disembowelment, transanal evisceration of humans notable cases. But yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 notable wolf attacks. And it's just like, again, that would be unfortunate to be like known. You're like, Wikipedia is like, well, he's known for being killed by and eaten by an animal. So there is such a thing as Wikipedia infamy, unfortunately. And if anyone wants to edit it and say that, you know, a famous podcaster, you know, has webbed feet, I'm all for it, man. I'm down with it. All right. We'll see you next time. Somebody should talk about two time. Talk about fun wine, yeah. You're asking the